This is not a time to get distracted. And this is not a time to go off course. This is not a time to lose your focus. Got a word to you for the Lord. And you cannot afford to lose your way. You come too far from where you start. Please don't let the time you saw be wasted on things that you'll later regret, wishing you never had. Once you realize it wasn't worth it, your destiny is too important to give up for anything.
I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Now let's join together in song with hymn number 82.
The sea, when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God and the waters cover the sea.
Again, welcome to this healing prayer meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. Woven throughout the structure of these readings to create a single tapestry are the books from the Message, King James Version of the Bible, and the Voice, with correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, discoverer and founder of Christian Science. For an uninterrupted flow, the books of the Bibles are from Jeremiah, Isaiah, Romans, James, Deuteronomy, John, 1 Corinthians, 1 Peter, Revelation, Exodus, Proverbs, and Ezekiel, and will not otherwise be announced. The topic of today's healing message is, how will your destiny be revealed? This is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion under their foot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. But you, who abandoned me, your God, who forgot the holy mountain, who hold dinners for Lady Luck and throw cocktail parties for Sir Fate, well, you asked for it. Fate it will be. Your destiny, death. But when I invited you, you ignored me. When I spoke to you, you brushed me off. You did the very things I exposed as evil. You chose what I hate. And ignoring God leads to a downward spiral, which erupts as acts of human mistrust and wrongdoing and lying accumulate. as people try to put a shroud over truth. But the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes, and there it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has revealed, people have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of his divine being. So, nobody has a good excuse. They pretended to know it all, but were illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God, who holds the whole world in his hands, for cheap figurines you can buy at any road stand. And don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule that takes a beating in that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. God is in charge of deciding human destiny. Who do you think you are to meddle in the destiny of others? For the Lord's portion is his people. The very next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and yelled out, "Here he is, God's Passover lamb. This is the man I've been talking about, the one who comes after me but is really ahead of me." I knew nothing about who he was, only this, that my task has been to get Israel ready to recognize him as God, the God revealer. I watched the Spirit like a dove flying down out of the sky, making himself at home in him. Two disciples heard him and went after Jesus. Jesus looked over his shoulder and said to them, "What are you after?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." Listen carefully to everything I tell you. Don't pay attention to other gods. Don't so much as mention their names. For the wise will pay attention to these words and will grow in learning. And the discerning will receive divine guidance. And they will be able to interpret the meaning of a proverb and a puzzle, the twists and turns in the words of the wise and their riddles. Above all else, watch over your heart, diligently guard it, because from a sincere and pure heart come the good and noble things of life. For here's what I'm going to do. I'll pour water over you and scrub you clean. I'll give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. Think, friends, if I come to you and all I do is pray privately to God in a way only he can understand, what are you going to get out of that? If I don't address you plainly with some insight or truth or proclamation or teaching, what help am I to you? If musical instruments, flutes, say, or harps aren't played so that each note is distinct and in tune, how will anyone be able to catch the melody and enjoy the music? If the trumpet call can't be distinguished, will anybody show up? It's the Spirit of God and his glory in you that brought you to the notice of others. If they're on you because you broke the law or disturbed the peace, that's a different matter. But if it's because you're a Christian, don't give it a second thought. Be proud of the distinguished status reflected in that name. Because you kept my word in passionate patience, I'll keep you safe in the time of testing. Keep a tight grip on what you have so no one distracts you and steals your crown. Don't owe anyone anything with the exception of love to one another. That is a debt which never ends. Because the person who loves others has fulfilled the law. Fundamentally, God's law has always been about love. Now consider this. You know well the times you're living in. It is time for you to wake up and see what is right before your eyes. The darkness of night is dissolving as dawn's light draws near. So walk out of your old dark life pattern and put on the armor of light. Don't fall into patterns of dark living. Instead, wrap yourselves in the Lord Jesus, God's anointed. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Few understand or adhere to Jesus' divine precepts for living and healing. Why? Because his precepts require the disciple to cut off the right hand and pluck out the right eye. That is, to set aside even the most cherished beliefs and practices, to leave all for Christ. Jesus elaborated the fact that the healing effect followed the understanding of the divine principle and of the Christ Spirit which governed the corporeal Jesus. For this principle, there is no dynasty, no ecclesiastical monopoly. Its only crowned head is immortal sovereignty. Its only priest is the spiritualized man. The Bible declares that all believers are made kings and priests unto God. The outsiders did not then and do not now understand this ruling of the Christ. Therefore, they cannot demonstrate God's healing power. Neither can this manifestation of Christ be comprehended until its divine principle is scientifically understood. Strict adherence to the divine principle and rules of the scientific method has secured the only success of the students of Christian science. This alone entitles them to the high standing which most of them hold in the community. One must abide in the morale of truth, or he cannot demonstrate the divine principle. Divine science contradicts the corporeal senses, rebukes mortal belief, and asks, what is the ego? Whence its origin and what its destiny? The one ego, the one mind or spirit called God, is infinite individuality, which supplies all form and comeliness, and which reflects reality and divinity in individual spiritual man and things. When you say man's body is material, I say with Paul, be willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Give up your material belief of mind in matter, and have but one mind, even God, for this mind forms its own likeness. The loss of man's identity through the understanding which science confers is impossible, and the notion of such a possibility is more absurd than to conclude that individual musical tones are lost in the origins of harmony. Detach sense from the body or matter, which is only a form of human belief, and you may learn the meaning of God or good and the nature of the immutable and immortal. Breaking away from the mutations of time and sense, you will neither lose the solid objects and ends of life nor your own identity. Fixing your gaze on the reality supernal, you will rise to the spiritual consciousness of being. Such is the sword of science with which truth decapitates error, materiality giving place to man's higher individuality and destiny.